But again, we are glad to be in God's house, worshiping the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A couple of words on our worship service for today. Opening hymn number 607, From Depths of Woe I Cry to Thee. That'll tell you a little bit about our readings for today, and especially our gospel reading, crying out to God in the depths of our woe. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, page 184 and following. Worship insert, readings are on one side, propers are on the other. I apologize for the type on the readings to squeeze it all in. Might have to get out your reading glasses on that. We'll listen to Vicar's good voice. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, your word is truth. Sanctify us by the truth. Teach us to hear and to believe your word. For your word is life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 607.
Thank you. Divine Service Setting 3, page 184. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you, Lord, for boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This time we sing together the introit as printed in our bulletin.
Thank you.
us pray. O Lord, keep your household, the church, in continual godliness, that through your protection she may be free from all adversities and devoutly given to serve you in good works. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the readings.
The Old Testament reading for the 21st Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapters 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures, and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creepy things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with its seed and its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue now our gratitude. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, forever you have formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are our God. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia and verse. According to St. John, the fourth chapter. Jesus came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to them, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he had begun to get better. And they said to him, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed in all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. This is the gospel of our Lord. We continue now in confessing our one true faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven.
God, the Father, before all worlds, God, God, light of light, very
666, O little flock, fear not the foe.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. We sang these words just a moment ago. As true as God's own word is true, not earth nor hell's satanic crew against us shall prevail. Their might a joke, a mere facade. God is with us and we with God. Our victory cannot fail. Text for our meditation this morning. Gospel reading we heard just a moment ago. John 4, verses 46 to 54. The miraculous healing of the official son. Especially these words from verse 50. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ. 1969, one of the all-time great Western country movies was made. Perhaps John Wayne's finest performance as an actor, True Grit, There's a scene in that movie that came to mind as we were studying and preparing for this Sunday. Toward the end of the movie, the bad guys are all dead. In fact, one of the good guys is dead too, Glenn Campbell, LaBeouf, little Maddie, Kim Darby, bitten by a rattlesnake, certain to die. John Wayne, Rooster Cogburn, old, fat, mostly drunk or hungover, knows that it's a matter of life and death. He's got to save her. He's got to do whatever he can in his power to save her. He does a little bit of medicinal work, but he knows that won't do the work. He's got to get her to the doctor. He's got to get her to professional help. But he's miles and miles away. What does he do? He captures the only horse that he can get, little Blackie. Big, fat Rooster Cogburn and Maddie crawl up on top of the horse, and they go, and they go, and they go. Slow down, she says. You're going to kill the horse. No, it's a matter of life and death. And they go, and they go, and before long, the horse drops over dead. Still miles away from help. Fat, drunk, Rooster Cogburn picks up the girl and he begins to run. And he runs. And he runs because it's a matter of life or death. Finally, he gets a break, a buckboard. And three men. He steals the buckboard, and away they go. Finally, they get to the doctor's house. Finally, there's help. A matter of life and death. My friends, today, as we look at God's Word, we have not a famous movie star acting his part. We have a man who is in the midst the deepest woe that you can possibly imagine. This official knew that his son was at death's door. There was nothing he could do. It was a matter of life and death, and yet here he was, helpless, hopeless. Then he heard a word, Jesus. The same Jesus who had turned water into wine at Cana, this Jesus was nearby. Well, nearby for us, by plane or train or automobile, but not so nearby for him. About an 8-hour walk or run over hill and over dale through treacherous landscape, dangerous territory. What could he do? His son is dying. Should he leave his son with the faint hope that he might be able to find and convince this Jesus to come and do what he had done to so many, a miracle? He had to go. A matter of life and death. And so he went. All through the night, this grueling journey, going to find Jesus. Jesus, the only hope for his near-death son. He finds him. He goes to Jesus and he explains the situation to him. He went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. What does Jesus do? Jesus takes this moment to teach a catechism lesson. To teach a theological truth. You came here because you want a miracle. You came to me because you want me to do a little magic. Woe to all those who come to God for signs and wonders, who come for the wrong reason. The man probably should have been offended. He was rebuked, but it was a matter of life and death. Those words were almost like water off a duck's back. He heard them, but he continued, "Sir, come down before my child dies." He only knew one thing. He only wanted one thing. His son was dying. "Jesus, you can help. You come down with me right now. I'll lead the way." You ever found yourself like that with God? You got a problem. Doesn't matter what kind of a problem, personal problem, family problem, school problem, work problem, health problem, an anxiety problem, depression. You got a problem. You go to God in your problem. God doesn't seem to answer, doesn't seem to care. In fact, he says something that seems to be completely unrelated to the issue at hand. What do we do? Do we listen? Do we listen to God? Do we listen to his word? Do we listen to what he's teaching us? Or are we so narrow-sighted that we continue to go to God with our request and our demands because we want what we want, we want it on our terms, we want it now, and we won't even consider anything else? Maybe you've never done that. Probably you have. This man's plight is one that we can relate to. Whatever our pressing issue is at the time, whether it really is or not, for us, it's a matter of life or death. And we look at God and we say, "God, jump. Jump now." We want to know how high. We want to dictate the terms. And our ears are closed to anything and everything else. Jesus, as Jesus always does, shows compassion. He shows compassion to this man who truly loves his son. He will not be bossed around. Jesus does what Jesus wants to do. He won't let the man dictate the terms. Jesus continues to teach the lesson. Jesus said to him, "Go. Your son will live." My friends, Jesus spoke a word. Man didn't want a word. Man wanted Jesus to come down. The man wanted Jesus to make that long, grueling trek with him. Touch the man. Make a little spit. Mud. Cake the man. Do some miraculous. Stand on his head. Whatever. Jesus gave him a word. I don't know about you, but when I want something from God, and he gives me a word instead of what I want, I am oftentimes disappointed. This official did the unthinkable. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. How'd he do it? Oh, he must have had strong faith. He must have had great parents. He must have went to parochial school. My friends, God's word is clear. We cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, or come to him. It is impossible for us to believe the word by our reason or our strength. It is a gift of God. God delivers the word to us. And by the power of the Holy Spirit working in that word, gives us the power and the strength to cling to that word, to cling to those promises, to believe the word of God, even though everything that we see and hear and feel and reason is contrary to that word. Let me show you how it works. God's word clearly teaches that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit created the universe by the power of his word in 6 24-hour days, and he rested on the seventh day. Do you believe that word? We heard it just a moment ago. That's contrary to reason. That's contrary to logic. That's contrary to what most scientists would teach. Do you believe the word? Or do you have better words than God? Let's try it again. You have a problem. You have a problem in your own mind or in your own heart. You have a problem with your spouse or with your kids or with your parents. God's word teaches that he can heal even the most broken relationships. He can heal you inside and out. He can heal your marriage, your family, your mind, your soul. Do you believe that word? Do you believe that word, that God's word is powerful enough to fix what is broken in your life? Or do you have better words than the word of God? My friends, we could go on and on and on with examples, and you know from your own life. God's word says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I am with you always to the end of the age. Do you believe that word? Or in your loneliness, despair, depression, self-pity, do you blame God and think that you have better words than the word of God? Just a few moments ago, Pastor Moline stood before you and he said, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. Do you believe that word? Or do you think some of my sins are too big? Some of my sins are too great? He's a man. I remember him when he was a kid. He's going to forgive my sins? Yeah, right. Do you believe the word of God? Or do you have better words than the word of God? The God who says, this is my body, this is my blood. The God who says in the waters of holy baptism, you are really born again and given faith. Do you believe the word of God? Or do you have better words than God's word? My friends, as we hear and see these words from John chapter 4, we all stand condemned. There have been times for each one of us when we have doubted, when we have ignored, when we have out and out denied the clear word of God. And God calls us today to repent. To repent of our false worship, worshiping our own words. To repent of our weakness and doubt. When at the times we needed God most, we turned our backs on Him and His clear word of God. My friends, today, take heart. The word that the man believed, the word that was with God at the beginning, the word through whom all things were created, the second person of the Trinity, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, this word, this Logos, took on flesh and blood for you. This word, Jesus Christ, came into a world of darkness, a world that couldn't care less what he had to say. He came here anyway to live and die and rise again, to pay for all of our sin, to drive away all of our fear and doubt, and to give us confidence. Confidence that his word is true. My friends, in the waters of holy baptism, God poured his Holy Spirit into you. The Holy Spirit, which clings to the promises of God, which teaches us to say no to the sin and evil in our life, and yes to the words and comfort and promises of God. The man believed that Jesus would do a miracle. But when he found out that Jesus had done the miracle, and that his word had healed his son at the exact moment that the word was spoken, the man not only believed in Jesus as miracle worker, but he believed the greater message that Jesus was teaching. Jesus isn't just some regular good guy physician. Jesus is God in the flesh. And he believed. And he couldn't keep this good news to himself, because not only did the man believe, but his entire household believed. They clung to the word of God, the word that is powerful enough to take dead things and make them alive. My friends, that's what he's done for us. That's what he promises to do on the last day. And that's what he continues to do each and every day that we draw breath, to bring us from death to life. Why? Because our salvation is a matter of life and death. My friends, you have heard the word. By God's grace, believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our ears, and our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. The only way we can believe the word of God is with a new heart. That's exactly what God's word promises to give us. Do you believe it? Let's sing it. Psalm 51. Page 192, the offertory, create in me a clean heart. and welcome. Walk up in the name of Jesus, who gives us life and hope and salvation. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pad at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship today. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who gives us his word of life, would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
We continue with the prayer of the church. Please stand. In addition to the prayer request listed in our bulletin, we also have one additional one. We pray for Wilfred Oldehoft, who is Elaine Van Valkenburg's brother, who is taking a turn. We pray for healing, if God's will be that, and if not, to depart in the one true faith. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs, responding, Lord, have mercy. For the priesthood of the baptized, that through the ongoing reception of the Holy Word and sacraments, their faith in the Lord's promises would be increased, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation and for all congregations in our synod, that they would be blessed with pastors who preach the whole counsel of God and parishioners who hear and believe. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For an increase of workers sent out into the Lord's vineyard of grace, that the proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ's name would be heard by all sinners, Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For protection against the schemes of the devil, that God's children would, by the power of the Spirit, don the whole armor of God to withstand all demonic assaults and remain steadfast in the world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of those who live without faith in Christ, that the Holy Spirit would call them to repentance and grant them a confident trust in Jesus and in His Word, trusting that He lived and died for them and for all sinners. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a culture of life to spread throughout our land, that all life from the womb to the grave would be cherished and protected. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those whom God has placed in authority over us, that they would serve with integrity and honor, striving for peace and the collective good of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who are sick or suffering in any way, and for all who have requested our prayers, including Katie, Janet, Al, Willis, Joyce, Lyle, Cindy, Lori, Kim, Donna, Ron, Shirley, Pastor Arlen Russert, Greg, Sherry, Caitlin, Carol, Marge, Vernita, Carol, Wilfred, and all others whom we name in our hearts, that they would be relieved of their afflictions according to the Lord's will, or strengthened to endure, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of those who mourn the loss of loved ones, including the family of Mary Spatz, sister of Don Olson, who was taken to her eternal home recently, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who receive the body and blood of Christ in the fellowship of this altar, that they would be strengthened and preserved in body and soul to life everlasting, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread, and forgive us our
trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away those sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Oh, Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away those sin of the world, have mercy upon us.
Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand as we sing. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated as we sing our closing hymn.
Welcome in the name of Jesus. Kids, go get some goodies. We'll be back in here for Sunday school opening in about 5 minutes. Good Shepherd news and notes, all the activities and events for the days and weeks ahead are listed. Make sure you check out the coming events on the front cover. Two opportunities for adult Bible study this morning. Pastor Moline is starting a summary of Christian doctrine class, room 109. Room 109, a great refresher of the faith, or if you'd like to find out a little bit more what Lutheran Christians believe, teach, and confess, that's the class for you. We'll continue our study of the book of Romans in the fellowship hall. We're just getting into the real wrath of God kind of stuff today, so it'll be lots of fun. You may have noticed in the pews these little booklets here that say A Simple Explanation of the Church Service. They are for your edification. If you want to put one in your pocket or purse and use it for personal devotions or study with the kids or to share with someone who isn't familiar with liturgical worship, that's what we have them for. We know many of them will walk away, and that's quite all right. That's quite all right. Don't throw them away, but if you can use them in your family or share with others, that is a good and God-pleasing thing. A Simple Explanation of the Church Service. Coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. You're all invited. Pastor, anything else?
Elizabeth and I, a week from tomorrow, hopefully, God willing, are going to be closing on a house, which means we'll have to move again a week from Tuesday. So anyone who hasn't had their fill of moving for the year and you'd like to come and help us on that Tuesday, we would appreciate the help. If you want more information, let me know.
Okay. You know a time of the day?
I'm guessing the whole day.
Okay, fine. Okay, yeah. Busiest day at church, too. Yeah,
right,
Tuesdays.
Right.
Okay. All right. Yes, and we only had to help Pastor Moline move twice. Once in and once out. It's real handy, and a lot of stuff is in boxes.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It should be just a matter of loading and unloading and things like that.
So. Okay. All right, so that's a week from Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Week from Tuesday, October 30th. October 30th.
I think that's all. What? Reformation Day Moving Festival.
Yeah, Reformation Eve. There you go. All right, coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall, two opportunities for Bible study, Sunday school opening here in about 5 minutes. Have a great day and week in the confidence of the Word of God.